I am dead, then, Drizzt whispered, patting Brunner's sturdy shoulder, then shifting his arm to grab at Regis and bring him in close. If only it were that simple, Elf, said Brunner.
Not dead, Regis said. Surely not dead.
There is so much to tell, Catti Bree explained. So many stories.
The forest, Drizzt surprised them all by saying. On the banks of Lac Dinashir. Mialiki's wood. 18 years gone.
So many stories, Catti Bree said again, her voice stolen, her breath stolen, when Drizzt tugged her in close and kissed her deeply and passionately.
Tales to tell,
Regis agreed.
And more to write.
Aye, said Brunner, and many yet to write. I come back to ye, Elf, to walk your road aside ye. But don't ye doubt, I've a road to walk o' me own, and it'll be good to have your blades lifted from Mithril Hall once more. That announcement brought some curious glances from Catti Bree and Regis, but Drizzt was already nodding and smiling widely. Guinevere stood up then quickly, her fur ruffling, issuing a low growl as she stared at a figure on the trailhead. Time mattered not to the ghostly form, drifting as a fog on the wintry winds. Ebensole settled around four old graves set to the side of a tent marketplace on the eastern side of a great bridge. These souls had touched the thief, the lich sensed, and from these spirits Ebensole would better discern his road ahead. The little clues had carried the lich far, across the sea of fallen stars, through the bloodstone lands, and to the road outside of Suzale. A long and meandering journey, but so be it. Time mattered not to the lich. It would find the halfling and retrieve its coveted dagger. It would find the thief, the grave robber, and properly punish him.
Here now! Speak and be recognized!
Brunner called as the shadowy, hulking form came into view along the trail just beyond the bare rock of Brunner's climb. The dwarf hopped to stand before Regis and Catti Bree. Behind them sat Drizzt, hardly recovered enough for battle. He had his hands on his blades, but could barely lift them. The lone form, huge and hulking, continued its steady approach. Brunner banged his axe against his shield, ready for a fight, and Guinevere, standing beside him, growled a warning once more.
A fine greeting,
said the approaching man, and he stepped into view, into the moonlight. Closer to 7 feet in height than 6, wearing that silvery coat of a winter wolf, the wolf's head bouncing about his massive chest, and with a great and familiar hammer resting easily over his shoulder, the newcomer smiled widely. Guinevere bounded forward.
Me boy,
whispered Brunner. And his axe fell to the stone with a clang, and he nearly followed it down.
Wolfgar,
Regis breathed.
But ye went into the pond,
Brunner said. Wolfgar shook his head as he reached down to ruffle the panther's thick fur, Guinevere rubbing against him with enough force to shift him back a step.
Tempest will wait, for what is a man's lifetime in the counting of a god?
The barbarian replied.
My friends needed me, and what a sorry warrior I would be to ignore that call.
The companions of the hall, said Drizzt, his voice breaking with every syllable, his dark cheeks streaked with tears of joy and renewed hope.
Let Lady Lolf come,
they all would have said together, had they known that she was indeed. This has been an Audible Frontiers production of The Companions, written by R.A. Salvatore, narrated by Victor Bavine. Producer Mike Charzuk. Copyright 2013 by Wizards of the Coast, LLC. Production copyright 2013 by Audible, Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.